Thank you for that. I don't know how many times that the church has laid hands on me and there's been healing. Lots of times. I remember one back when I had my neck surgery. That was something else because it was the day before the surgery. I went down. Everybody laid hands on me. Pastor prayed. And went into, and it was day surgery. Imagine that, getting operated on your neck. Day surgery, right? Go in Anchorage, and they do this little incision, go in with a couple tools, they take out the bad disc, then they go down to the hip and they carve out a bone out of there and stick it into the spine is, where the disc used to be, to fuse that spine together. And after I came out of it, the doctor was there and he says, "Yeah, you grew a little." And I said, "Yeah, well, that's praise God for that, you know." And he said, "And you didn't lose one drop of blood." He goes, "I've never seen that." And I was like, "That is all Jesus." I said, "He was there helping you and watching over the operation." I said, "The church prayed for me the day before, and I went in, and this is what happened." And he was like, "Wow." And I said, "Yeah." So, you know, you have those opportunities to praise God, to witness to others, because I have no idea if he was a Christian or not, and to just give testimony to who our God is. You know, he's a God filled with love, compassion. He's mighty. He's a healer. He's a provider. I mean, he is our fortress. It's awesome. Well, today, we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk a little more about being rooted. We're going to open up God's Word to teach us something new, and we're going to root ourselves in His truth. And we're at the end of a sermon series called Rooted, where we have been discovering the benefits of developing deep foundational roots in the grace and love of God. The first week, we looked at how rooting ourselves in sharing means that we look for any and every opportunity to tell others about the good news. The good news. So what is the good news? The good news of Jesus's life, his death, and his resurrection, and how we become ambassadors for God's kingdom here on earth. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how rooting our lives in faith can transform us and help us live lives that honor God and bless others around us. Our faith is shown to the world by the fruit of our lives. Last week, we took a deep dive into being rooted in prayer and in Bible study to grow into the people that God created us to be. This week, we will talk about the beauty of the church and the joy of being rooted in community. Okay? Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to go ahead and turn to... that's not it. Somehow, this moved on me. One moment. We're going to go ahead and read out of Romans chapter 12. Oh, how that moved. We're going to start in verse 3 and go to verse 13. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. So Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And then Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who he had need, as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth, Lord, that you give us in your word, Lord. And Lord, today, as I bring your word here, Lord, what you have given, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would hide this word, Lord, in each one of our hearts, Father God. Lord, that we may be able to meditate on it, chew on it, Lord. And Lord, to be able to walk it out, Father God, so that the light in which you have given us, Lord, that we can go out into the community in which we live here in North Pole and Fairbanks, Lord. Lord, that others would see that light, would be attracted to that light. Lord, and that they would ask questions. What is it that you have? What's different? Lord, I pray, Father God, that as we hear your words today, Lord, that we would be able to walk it out confidently and boldly, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So has anybody ever been to California and seen the redwoods? You seen the redwoods? Anybody else? Have you seen it? I know you're from California. You've seen it?
Yeah.
You've seen it? Oh, I thought you were saying. Yeah, I lived in California I grew up there. I'd never seen it. I even went back. I still didn't see it. I don't know, I must have had my eyes closed or something, because I drove and I thought maybe I would have seen it, but I didn't see it. But it is a place that I'd like to see, and visit. I've seen pictures of the trees. They're massive. Massive trees. But those pictures can't possibly capture their greatness. I mean, picture is one thing, but actually being there and experiencing it has got to be something else. Would you agree? So the huge redwood trees of California, they're amazing. They're the largest living things on earth and the tallest trees in the world. Some of them are 300 feet high and over 2,500 years old. One would think that trees so large must have a tremendous root system that reaches down hundreds of feet into the earth to keep them upright and strong. However, the redwoods have a surprisingly shallow root system. And if you got down on your knees and examined the redwood's root system, you would find all the roots intertwined. They're locked into each other. When storms come, winds blow, and lightning flashes, the redwoods remain firm. The trees support and protect each other. Each tree is important to all the other trees in the grove. Every one of us is vital to the life of this church. Every one of us is vital to the life of this church. Not one of us can navigate life on our own. We were never made to do life on our own. The Bible speaks about the way God designs us for fellowship and connection. When we're rooted in community, we're a blessing to others in need. We can also have a powerful impact on the world when churches partner with one another to join God in his mission across the globe. Now, Paul understood the value of living in community. In the book of Romans, we just read, he encouraged the church to play its part in the family of God. His words are as helpful and insightful today as they were then. I'm going to go ahead and reread Romans chapter 12, And we're going to start in verse 3, and I'm just going to go to verse 8 for right now. So, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, this passage begins with life-changing advice. Paul told his listeners to think of themselves with sober self-assessment. I mean, right here he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. There was trouble brewing in the church because there were individuals with inflated egos. Not much has changed since the church since the first century. We still struggle to live in community without feeling the need to elevate ourselves over others. A sober self-assessment does not mean we feel the opposite, that we're worthless, but that we see ourselves as God sees us, with value that he placed on us to live in unity with others. I want you for a moment to imagine a symphony orchestra. You ever went and watched the orchestra play? You know, and you got all different types of instruments there. And you have a conductor, right? The guy waving his wand to keep everybody in sync, right? And in tune. You know, within the orchestra, there are musicians who play different instruments, each with its unique role and sound. You have violinists. You have cellists. Trumpeters and percussionists, among others. Now, let's focus on one particular musician, and we'll call her, I'm not picking on, so ladies, don't get upset because I'm going to name it a female, okay? So we're going to call her Sarah, okay? So Sarah, guess what? She's a talented violinist. Talented. Sarah is exceptionally skilled and has a beautiful sound on her violin. However, as the performance date approaches, Sarah begins to feel prideful and starts to think of herself as the most important member of the orchestra. She believes that her violin, that her violin playing is what makes the entire performance exceptional. During rehearsal, Sarah consistently plays louder than the rest of the musicians, overpowering the harmonious blend of instruments. This disrupts the orchestra's unity and the intended beauty of the music. The conductor notices the issue and calls for a meeting with the musicians. During this meeting, the conductor reminds everyone that each instrument in the orchestra plays a vital role in creating a harmonious symphony. He emphasizes that no instrument should dominate, but instead should complement and harmonize with others. As Sarah and the rest of the orchestra members start to play together in unity, they create a breathtaking performance that touches the hearts of their audience. Just as the members of the orchestra must recognize and value each other's unique contributions to create a beautiful symphony, Christians are encouraged to have a sober self-assessment and recognize the unique gifts and roles of each member within the body of Christ. This mindset promotes unity, cooperation, and a harmonious community where each person's value is acknowledged and celebrated. Now, Paul explained why this is important also. It's because God's gifted each person with a unique set of skills and talents that complement the gifts of others. Alone, we can go fast, but together, we can go far. Let me say that again. Alone, we can go fast, but together, we can go far. The church is a body that has hands, feet, eyes, and ears. Without one of these parts of the body, the other parts suffer. We talked about my ears just a little bit ago, right? I'm going to tell you, when you don't have one ear, you have no sense of direction. None. And it looks really funny, and I've had a lot of people laugh at me and stuff like that, because someone will be calling my name and I'll be going like this, looking to see where they're calling from, like I'm lost. But that's what happens when you don't have the use of an ear. I mean, you see people that are not born with limbs. Never had a limb before, you know, an arm or hand or leg or whatever. They adjust to it. But when you lose one, you know, during your life, you've been given all these things, right? And you lose the use of your arm, then guess what? You have to rely on the other one. And you have to learn how to do things a little differently. God has given different gifts to different people. Speaking prophetic words, as Paul says, the ability to preach and teach, the gift of encouragement. I'll tell you, many pastors there at Pastor and Spouse's Retreat, there were many of them there that had the gift of encouragement when they came up to me and thanked me for playing the guitar for them and encouraged me to continue on. But then not only that, I guess by me being up there, I encouraged another pastor to get his guitar out and start playing again. So there's different ways in which you can encourage people. Sometimes it doesn't have to be by words. Sometimes it could just be by an action. also gives us the ability to be incredibly generous. Some are better leaders. Some excel in being merciful. Whatever it is that God has placed inside of you, know your part and play your part humbly. When everyone does this, the church becomes a witness to the love and the power of God. Now, Paul explained the motivation behind the communal relationships that make up our witness to the world. And it's simply this: love. Love. Let's look at this in verse 9. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Sincere love makes us authentic. It makes us authentic. It fuels us to seek out and destroy evil. It keeps us committed to showing up in one another's lives. Love helps us put others' needs ahead of our own, the same way that Jesus did as he went to the cross on our behalf. Love also makes us excited to serve God by serving others. Right? Serving God by serving others. I love the way Paul ended this portion of his letter. He told his listeners to practice hospitality. And I believe this is one of the most valuable and overlooked gifts that exist in the church. Some of the most powerful experiences I've ever had in the church have come from the hospitality of people who love Jesus. I don't know, I mean, in the churches that Nanette and I have been in since we started down in Nikiski, over and over and over, the hospitality that we've received. I'll talk about one right now, and this is, you know, something near and dear to my heart. There was a lady in Nikiski. Her name was Ella. She's with Jesus now. And the one thing that I really appreciated about her was her faithfulness, her boldness. She would get up, stand up, and tell the pastor that she had a testimony. And she would give her testimony about God, about what God's doing in her life, or what he is doing in her family's life. And then she would pick a song, a hymn from the hymnal, and she would sing it in her native tongue. She was Athabascan? I think Athabascan. But she sang it in her native tongue. I mean, we all knew the song because you could tell by the tune, right? But she sang it, and she sang it boldly. There was no other natives there, but we heard the song. And she was singing it to God as if God, he was present right then. He was there. You know, and the one other thing that she blessed me with was she gave me a Bible. And this isn't your ordinary Bible. This is one of those Bibles that have four different translations side by side. Have you ever seen those where you got the NIV, the King James, the Amplified, and I forget what the other one is, but I've got it at the house. It's about that thick. And what an awesome gift. She gave it to me before I left Nikiski. And she wanted me to have it. This was something that she had. And it wasn't like it was brand new or anything like that, but it was something that was given to me from her. And I still have it. And I still remember the day that she gave it. You know, and those types of things are, I mean, it's hospitality, you know? So I want to talk a little bit right now about some things. And, you know, I've talked to you about this You're Not Alone wall. And it's something that has really spoke to Nanette and I, how we can be involved in the community. I've been looking for this. I've been asking people how we can do this. I've been, you know, praying about it. And this has come up and I was like, wow. And the Lord just continued to say, you need to be involved in that. You need to be involved. It has to do with the youth. How many times do our youth get pushed aside? I mean, we have a problem in our schools with mental health. We have a problem with suicide, just like you do in the community. But it's bigger. It's a bigger problem. These are young kids, right? And they have, you know, we have a homeless community here of youth in the North Pole area. You know, they're going from couch to couch or whatever, you know, couch surfing as they call it. We had that in Wasilla, same thing. And there's people that come up with also, oh, well, they're probably just, you know, not getting along with their parents. They just need to do what their parents say, da 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 da. We don't know that. We don't know what the issues are. We have no idea. So to sit in judgment is wrong. So how can we come in and help these youth? How can we go in and say, we care? We care about you. We want to help you. How can we do that? You know, and I find that this wall is a place, you know, it's called You're Not Alone because it's about a community coming together and helping support the youth. You know, it's just like with this youth club. I mean, if our building was any bigger, I can guarantee you I would have been on the horn right away saying, you need a place, come over here and use our place. Our building is not big enough, nor do we have the, you know, the room to be able to do some of that stuff. Because they're setting up like pool tables and foosball tables inside there, and they got some other things, board games and stuff like that. But what an opportunity to come along with some of these leaders in the community and be able to help, you know? And I know I told you my experience with Halloween and stuff like that, and you know, but the Lord has really, really been speaking to me lately about that, saying, Brad, I know I saved you out of that, but I need you to love others where they're at. Go and love. So many times the church gets criticized so much for how they say that they love people, but they don't show it. Right? And people are going like this, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to have anything to do with the church. I had my bad experience. Not here at North Pole Church of the Nazarene, no. We're not going to have that. Our mission statement says to love God and love others. Right? And we want to see our community transformed. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? That, because I know it's all the Lord. It's nothing that we're going to do or anything like that, because the Lord has moved me in this direction. I know that, and has got my attention on this. But it's not me, it's God. And in everything that happens in this, it's the Lord. And he is moving right now. And I firmly believe that this is a way that we can get into the community and be seen. Be seen. We can't be seen inside this building. When I first got here, I told people where I was pastoring. They were like, where? Where's that? Nobody knew. You know, if I say Summit Church, everybody knows. You know why? And I'm not saying that they're better or anything like that. But Summit Church, I could tell you, they're in the community. They're in the community. They do big things. They put on the biggest backpack thing, you know, back to school thing every year. They're doing part of the You're Not Alone wall. But that's the thing. They're in the community. They're not just in their church, not in their building, all, you know, kind of hiding, keeping everybody else out. So it is vitally important, you know, and then to partner with this Talon Luthnay Youth Club and the Aurora Fund Center. I mean, this is an opportunity for us to be in the community. And when we demonstrate love to people around us, it changes things. It changes things. It makes an invisible God visible to people who are far from him. Love should be our go-to. And it should play out in the hospitality that we show others. When the early church began to form after Jesus' death and resurrection, it faced all kinds of trials. There was the stress of living life in a culture opposed to faith in Jesus. There was intense persecution. Out of necessity, the people inside of the church had to bond together to help each other, because God's vision for his people was never for them to do life alone. Let's go ahead and reread Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. I have a subtitle here called The Fellowship of Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the church grew. The church grew. In this passage, we see one of the clearest and most honest views of what it was like to be part of the early Jesus movement. The people regularly gathered for fellowship, teaching, eating, and worship. Their faith was central to their daily lives. They were witnesses to amazing and miraculous things. You know, I'm sure that many of you probably have stories of seeing miraculous things in your life. I know here when I first got here, a lot of what was going on at the time, we had church on Sunday. Wednesday we did Bible study, had a Wednesday night Bible study. Then it started getting a little bit more busy. Wasn't as many people come to Wednesday night Bible study, so we went to men's study and women's study, and that went on for a while. Things, you know, during the COVID time, oh, man, were those hard times during COVID. But you know what? God never left. He was still there. He was there helping us. He was there giving us ideas on how to get the word out. I remember, I don't think anybody here remembers Joyce, except for Nanette and Tristan. But when Joyce was here, Joyce was one of the probably one of the founding members of the North Pole Church. She was our pianist. And what a gift she had. I mean, she not only played the piano, she read music, but she also wrote her own song. And we played it regularly in church. And I mean, just a very gifted individual and so full of life. She used to go down to McDonald's. And she would have, this was before I even got here, okay? She would go to McDonald's and they would sit there, her and Mark, another guy who was coming here, and now he's since moved back to New York to help with his mom. And But both of them would meet at McDonald's and they would have Bible study together, inviting others that were coming into McDonald's to have time studying God's word. Amazing. Amazing. I mean, I was just like, whoa. I mean, I've seen it before, not a church I belong to, but other churches. I've seen it at Starbucks and a church down in Wasilla that used to get, the guys used to get together there on a certain day and they'd open God's word and study and invite people in. But I was like, wow, wow. So she used to do that, and of course, as COVID went on, and it got really hard to go see her because her health was failing and stuff, and so it was really hard to go see her over at the senior home over in North Pole, and just to be able to go and talk to her and encourage her, because again, she lived with her son. But then when her health took a turn, she was put in there and people took care of her until her final, when she was down to her final days, then they let her go home and she passed at her home that her husband built. And so it was... you know, it was just one of those things. I mean, you talk about hospitality. She was a neat lady. Neat lady. And it's just one of those, you know, and she was always, here's the other thing that I remember about Joyce. Joyce reminded me a lot of my grandmother. My grandmother and her had a lot in common, I think. But she liked to go to the dump. Okay, my grandmother didn't go to the dump. She'd just hop in the garbage, these big dumpsters, and she'd look around for things and find, you know, stuff that still worked, and she'd bring it home. She would do that. But Joyce would do that, and she would bring things, and she would give me, because she knew that I was playing guitar, and she knew that I needed some music books, so she would give me these music books, and from the dump that she found, right? She's like, she would get stuff, and when somebody needed something, she would be able to give it to them, you know, which was kind of neat. I mean, I just felt that, you know, and she didn't charge me anything for it. She didn't charge people anything for it. I remember one time she told me, she goes, Brad. Pastor Brad, you know what they had at the dump this week? I was like, what? A brand new couch. You should go over there. I can't get it because I only have a little car. But they got a brand new couch. It's still wrapped in the plastic. I was like, you're kidding me. She goes, oh, no. It wasn't there, though. Someone had already gotten it. But I was like, wow. But she'd get all excited about that stuff and just really want to help people through that time, you know. And so, you know, I'm going to bring one before I close. I'm going to bring one more story up. It was that story when we were in Nikiski, and the lady had. This lady had come in just after service, just at the end of service, and we were without a pastor. I was there, I was on staff at the time, but I had to step down. Anytime a pastor leaves, any other pastors that are on staff, they have to step down. That's the rule in the Nazarene Church, so, or any staff, they have to step down too, so, like secretaries. Stuff like that. But anyway, this lady comes in, and one of the ladies was talking to her from the church and says, oh, let me go get Pastor Brad. And I was like, and this is like, before wasn't early on in my ministry, but it was before I went to my first church. And so she brings this, tells me about this lady, and she goes, she's got alcohol on her. She reeks of alcohol. She's in her pajamas. And I'm like, well, you need to come in and go get my wife. I said, because I'm not going to be talking to a lady by myself. And so we all met in the office and everything, found out that she was being kept against her will, and she had escaped to come tell us about this. I guess the guy or whoever was keeping her against her will had left for a bit, and he kept her drunk, kept giving her alcohol, kept so that she couldn't function, I guess. Well, she came to the church and told us this whole story. And so with that, you know, you're like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? You know, and I was looking for him because I had no idea. And we got together, the three of us, and said, we need to get her out of there. And I'm like, yeah, we got to get her out. And what do we do? So we came up with a plan. We got her on a plane, got her out of the state to a place where she knew to go. And never heard from her again. But she got on the plane and got out of there. And I was just so thankful that we were able to do something for her, because her life was in this guy's hands. Basically, he was keeping her captive and basically giving her, you know, alcohol and keeping her drugged up, if you will, so that she couldn't do anything. And so that was just one experience that I remember where the love of Jesus just poured out of us. And we didn't get it from the church. We just went ahead and did it because it was someone's life. You know, sometimes you know, it's a beautiful thing when you get to experience those things. But the scary reality is that sometimes the church forgets its purpose. We forget our purpose. Several years ago, a preacher in Atlanta noticed a Yellow Pages listing for a restaurant called Church of God Grill. The peculiar name aroused his curiosity, and he dialed the number listed. A man answered with a cheery, "Hello, Church of God Grill." The preacher asked how the restaurant had been given such an unusual name, and the man said, "Well, we had a little mission down here, and we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sunday to help pay the bills. People liked the chicken, and we did such good business that eventually we cut back on the church service. After a while, we closed down the church and kept serving chicken dinners, and we kept the name that we started with, Church of God Grill." An example of a church forgetting what their purpose is. The church was not instituted by God to only feed people physically. It's to feed people spiritually. It's easy to lose sight of the purpose and mission that God has given us. We're called to help and serve a broken and lost world. It's not easy, but it is our high calling. Here is the most important aspect of this passage. It was because of their community witness that the church grew. This is back just after Jesus ascended to heaven. The church grew. Why? Because they were out there witnessing. Day after day, there were people outside the family of God who were being added and saved by faith. Why? Because they saw the results of living faithfully for God. They wanted to be part of it. What kind of witness are we sending the outside world? What kind of witness are we sending the North Pole and Fairbanks community? Are we living in the kind of community that would cause others to want to join? Is our community and world a better place because we meet on Sundays? A study in 2003 showed there are nearly three times more church closings than there are openings each year. Would the people in our area miss us if we had to close the doors? Right now, I'm going to say absolutely not. They will not miss us one iota. They won't. This is no different now when I go out there and I ask that people ask me, well, what church do you pastor? North Pole Church of the Nazarene. Well, where's that? They have no idea. Have no idea. When we live as a community rooted in love and humility, the answer will be undoubtedly be yes. Think about that, though. I'm going to go ahead and have, Nanette, can you hand these out? These are discussion questions, and there's some really good ones here. Wait, this is not the one. Where's my, it's this one, sorry. They're right here. There's one that I really would like you to really spend some time on. I mean, I'd like you to answer all of them, but this last one is, what is one need in your community that the church could help with? Let me know. What is one need in your community that the church could help with? And as those are being handed out, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude for the wisdom and truth that you have shared with us today. Thank you for reminding us of the importance of being rooted in community, for we were never meant to do life alone. Lord, help us to know and play our parts in this beautiful tapestry of your church. May we have a humble self-assessment and recognize the unique gifts and roles you have given each of us. Teach us to work together harmoniously, just as the instruments in an orchestra create a symphony when they play in unity. May your love, the greatest gift of all, be the foundation of all our relationships within this church and beyond. Help us to be authentic in our love, to seek out and destroy evil, and to put the needs of others ahead of our own. Let our acts of hospitality and service be a shining light that draws others to you. Lord, as we reflect on the early church's sense of community, we are inspired to be a church that provides for one another's needs and impacts our community positively. Keep us focused on our mission to bring your love and message to a broken world. We pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we strive to be a church that truly reflects your love and grace. May our witness be so powerful that others are drawn to join this community of believers. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.